Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can y'all hear me? Can you hear me? Can you turn it up a little bit? Thank you, Lord. Wow. What an awesome gift. Amen. Just thank God for that gift. And I love that part for thine is the kingdom. And the power. And the glory. Not just one day, not just while we're standing here in church, but forever. Forever. Thanking the Lord for the power when we think of that, that his kingdom wants to invade this earth with his power, with his glory, and with his authority through us. That's the part we need to get. That he wants to bring his kingdom, his kingdom, his way of doing things. The way kingdom operates, he wants to bring it to our earth through us, his people. Sometimes we're looking, where is it going to come from? Where's healing going to come from? Where's deliverance going to come from? Where's God wants his kingdom. His kingdom, the way that heaven is. I loved how Reverend June was saying that sometimes we can feel like what we're going through is the norm. But when we really begin to think about we are kingdom children, we are not of this world, we are citizens of heaven, and that we would just bring heaven to earth. Heaven to earth. In heaven, people aren't sick. Come on. In heaven, people aren't walking around with trouble and mental mind. God wants us to bring that peace right here to this earth because heaven resides within us. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And so I'm like Dr. Robin this morning. I was feeling like, whoa, it's kind of feeling a little bit subdued in the house of the Lord this morning. And I know that the enemy has been busy. I tried to call this morning, called Dr. Robin. I got up and fell out, just standing, and all of a sudden passed clean out. But I thank God because when I passed out, there was so much I could have hit the edge of my dresser, the edge, but God, thank but God, amen. I don't know what it was all about, but I knew that the enemy was trying to attack me, and I wasn't going to take that as something normal. That's not normal. Those things are not attacks from the enemy is not something we stand as it's normal. It makes us say, wait a minute. I got a little angry and said with righteous indignation that how dare you touch me this morning because I'm the daughter of the Most High King. And this morning, you think you stopped me, but you just made me and motivated me to run on a little harder, to pray on a little harder, to preach a little harder. You just motivated me, enemy. You know, my back kind of felt a little off. I said, oh, no, I'm going to be straight. I'm going to walk. I'm going to preach. Because this morning, there's nothing normal about the enemy coming against us. There's nothing normal about that. It's that he dares to even do it. And somewhere he has felt like, wait a minute, you know, there's a weakness I can go. It says, what does he do? He goes to and fro into this earth seeking whom he may devour. And somebody might need to say, not me. Not me. He's not devouring me this morning. In the name of Jesus, we stand in his power and his authority. So I'm so glad to be up here this morning. I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I'm glad to be able to lift up my voice, lift up my body, do all the stuff, have the activities. Things might hurt a little bit, but that just lets me know where the devil tried to take me, but couldn't get me all the way, okay? So I just thank God this morning as we get ready for the word this morning. Our title this morning is called Enough. 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 Finding contentment in a season that wants more. Enough. Enough. You can be seated. going to pray, but you can be seated, okay? Lord, I just thank you right now for the word of God. I thank you so much, God, that you are a God that wants your people to know. You give us wisdom, God, in every area, God, in every season. We thank you for Dr. Robin already, God, in the natural, God. And we don't take those things for granted or gaff them off, God, that you have given us in this place the wisdom about our bodies. You have given us someone, God, that can bring us wisdom in areas that sometimes the enemy just calls fear. And we don't do the right thing just out of fear. And that allows the enemy to have doorways into our lives. But we thank you, God, that you are canceling the fear, oh God. Because, God, in the name of Jesus, God, when we get wisdom, that cancels the fear. What we were afraid of, the wrong information, God, oh God, it has been canceled right now in the name of Jesus. And we walk in wisdom and we walk in authority. God, we thank you for every man in this place, oh God. Every single man that's in this place, God, every single man that would come into the doors of this place, God, that you would heal them, God, that you would deliver them, God, that you would kill anything in them that's not like you, oh God, that you would take it away right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, that sickness would no longer dwell in their bodies. Oh, God, they will be wise men. And, God, we will be wise women, God, that will pray for and lift them up, oh, God, and encourage them in the name of Jesus. Thank you for mighty and strong men in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I mean, when you just listen to that report, I can just go back to that word, the words theme. Enough. When I hear about all the suicide and how many men are dying and how early, enough. Come on, we got to say that in our hearts, and not just for the men in the house, but for the men that's in our families. You're passing this along to our families, because the enemy, all through the Bible, if you read in the Bible, he kept coming after the men. Now, we know he came after the women, okay? But in a big onslaught, every time you read, he was coming after the kings. Where would the king go? First, to kill all the baby boys. It was coming after the men. And so we're not going to allow that, amen? We have wisdom in this house of where to direct our prayers and where to give our knowledge. And we thank God for it in this house. I just want to talk about this. And I want to picture this. And it was funny because Dr. Robin kind of said it when she first got up and felt the subdued spirit and the, you know, how we're kind of, is the turkey still laying upon us, you know? And so I want you to picture this, okay? Just a few days ago, many of us sat around tables and we bowed our heads, we held hands together. Did y'all see that beautiful, if y'all had Facebook, did y'all see that beautiful picture of the White family? Oh, it was so beautiful. I saw them all. I was like, oh, I love this. But it was all of them, and they were standing together as a family for the holiday. Many of us did that. We had almost 25 in our home of our family, and it was so such a blessing to me just to watch them as we all got in our circle and to pray and to get ready to, you know, just to thank God for what he's done. Thank God, just looking around the circle, all I could do was just thank God. I kept looking from one to the other, and I was like, oh, God, I just thank you so much for what you've done in my family. And we had from our oldest patriarch, Elder Otis, all the way down to our newest baby, which was Felicity's baby, Hope. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, look what you have done. God, there's just generations and generations. And then I look back, we had another one of our granddaughters just a couple Sundays ago. She went and the Spirit talked to her heart while she was standing praying, and she asked to be baptized. You guys don't know what this means to me. I have asked God over, and I said, Lord, before I leave this earth, please let me see the generations know God. And God told me, believe in the seed, and you shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, God. You know, so it's going to be all right to say howdy, howdy when I get to heaven. But I want to see it in the land of the living, okay? In the land of the living, I want to see it. And so there was many of us there, and we were in that place of being thankful. And a lot of us were in that place of being thankful. There was all kind of food. Y'all had good food. I kept seeing pictures of good food. I wanted to be at every house. I was like, ooh, I should be over there. They had, but it was so good to see that God had put his abundance on our tables. Come on. In a time where people are talking about prices and how things are so expensive and people are complaining, and it was just so good to just know, but our God's been good to us. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Never seen a seed begging bread. That is a true statement. Never, ever, ever has that happened. And so we were so thankful just a few days ago. We were thankful for our family. We were thankful for the breath in our lungs. We were thankful for the food on the table. And gratitude was just overflowing. And then, what happened then?
What happened?
What happened then? About 12 hours later, midnight hits. All of a sudden, Black Friday. The same people, them, take heed. Now this is Jesus. Take heed. It means listen. Take heed to what I'm saying. Don't ignore it. Don't be distracted. Don't count it as something. Take heed. And be aware of covetousness. Covetousness is a spirit of wanting something so much you just got to have it. You know, you might have five pairs of shoes, but, oh, I need that blue one. I got three blue ones, but this is a blue one with a white one, and I need it. I need it. So covetousness is just this desire of things, of wants. We just have this desire. But God said, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. It doesn't consist of that. God wants us to be careful, because that people say, I don't think that way. I just like shoes. I just like clothes. I just like my cabinets full of food. I don't think that it consists. But God said, be careful, because that's where the enemy can take us. So this morning, don't be so careful. Don't be so fast to say, no, that's not me. No, that's not what I'm thinking. No, that, because we do that. We go, no, that's not me. That's not what I'm thinking. But God is not saying, you may not be thinking it now, but he said, take heed. Take heed. Take heed. There is an enemy. There's an enemy that will attack your desires and make your desires turn into something that, instead of something that is just a light desire, it now becomes something that consumes you. Take heed. Take heed. Greed and materialism can distort a person's heart. The warning is against thinking that security, identity, and meaning comes from possessions. There we go again. Not me. Not me. But very quickly, all of a sudden, we can think, if I just have that, I will be more if I just have that. People would like me more. I would fit in here if I just had that. God wants us to know when we're going, not me, not me, not me. God wants us to know, because look, it's a natural human tendency that believes more stuff equals more life. Wealth equals security, and success has everything to do with our identity. It's just a natural human tendency to believe those things. Jesus warns us because he knows the season, this season right now, can pull us away from the simplicity of gratitude. He also wants to remind us that life's true value comes from God. Being in relationship with the Father, our Creator, and not from accumulating things. You know, the world, hoarders have hoarded themselves in to the point that, if you ever watch, and I like watching hoarders. No. And people say, why? Because I don't want to be one. And I know in the tendency of things that I like I have little angels. My daughter told me one day, she goes, Mama, how many of these angels are you going to put all over the house? I have these little angels, and I like them. And every time I see them, I'm like, oh, I love that. I can't even remember what the name of them are. They're not precious moments, but they're just these little cute willow tree. And so I love, if there's a collector's thing that I love, is willow tree. And why I love willow tree, because it's on the bottom of each of the angel, it says something like friendship, it says healing, or, you know, has a word. Anything in my house, I like for it to have word on it. But I love these little things. But, I mean, I think I have about 20 of them now. Pastor David says more. And so you know, but I don't know, he's counting, I'm not. But what happens is I have these people in my life that I love that always makes me think, Sam's gonna remember this. Sam makes me think, he always makes me feel guilty. Sam is my guilt box. When he comes in my house, I'm so glad he's my son, because otherwise I would say, how dare you get up out my house. But Sam would be like, he's came in my house, so my mom, you need to get rid of some of this stuff. You need to get, he acts like my stuff is junk. He don't realize that that's not junk. But he acts like it. But so sometimes I'll be looking and I'll be, oh, you know what? He's right. I need to get rid of some more stuff. Don't y'all, none of y'all. I know I'm not talking to just Linda. Okay, because he gave it to me first, but he told me to give it to y'all. So I know there's some in the house that understand what I'm talking about. So God is saying that as we listen this morning, he wants us to really see that there are things that we, and usually, you know what, I don't know about you, but I'm, why, and somebody looked at me weird when I said I liked hoarder, watching hoarders, because I really could see that I could be a hoarder. And so I watch it, and then it trips me out. You know, I'm watching, and oh my God, I don't want, how do they live like that? Then I'm looking around and saying, oh, you know what, I could. And so I watch it, and then when I watch it, I try to get rid of some more stuff. Okay, so in a way, this morning is funny, but in a way, it's not. It's so true. And I also watch my heart, because what I really like to buy a lot of things is when I'm really, something's missing, something's hurting, something I can't really deal with. So I'm going to go shopping. Mindlessly shopping, just check out for a little while, because my heart is. And so God wanted us to understand that, and he's helping me to help you this morning, okay? Because some of us are silently, you know, even though you're laughing, you know exactly what I mean. And so God is saying that he's not against gift giving, you guys. Because we got some Scrooges in the house. But he's not against gift giving. Because sometimes we go, we don't need to give all them gifts. We don't need to be doing that. No, that's not God. I want you to know that is not God. God is the greatest gift giver of all. And he is about giving gifts. And he is about giving. But he's not about you giving when your heart is drifting away from him. When it just becomes something to do with no thought or no intentionality or no purpose. He's not about that. He's not about us not blessing others, because God blesses us every day. We can look around and see the goodness of God, the blessings of God every single day, all day long. He's a gift giver. But he doesn't want us to be giving and bending under pressure. We'll walk around, and sometimes when we went into Walmart yesterday, and to get some medicine, you guys, because y'all might think that I was there for the Black Friday thing. But I told David I didn't understand the Black Friday thing because everything in Walmart looked like it didn't go down one bit. And so I was like, what are they here for? There's nothing to tear at all. But anyway, God doesn't want, but what I hear, and I kept telling my husband, I said, we walked around, I said, I need to go. I need to go home. I need to go home. Because all I could hear was the noise and the people that were, there were grumpy people, and there were people, you know, they're trying to get stuff, but they're mad that they're getting the stuff. And I was like, this is not fun at all. Why would, you know, why would, but because under pressure, because they're thinking it's Christmas. Oh, God, I got to get this. I got to get that. Christmas coming. I got to buy this, but I don't really want to buy it. But I want to make somebody happy. I'm not going to fit in. Somebody's going to be mad if I don't. And I was like, you know what? I just want to go home. Turn me on some worship music and worship Jesus, because this is really not what it's all about. God is not, he's saying it's not, he's not against us having joy at this time, but he wants us to really look at the noise that's all around us. Because there can be noise, you guys, that affects your joy. And you got to go, no, none of that. Turn it off, because you don't want your joy affected with the noise, okay? God wants us to know the secret. What's the secret of this season? He said the secret is enough with contentment. Paul learned contentment. In Philippians 4, 11 and 13, he said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, and I want y'all to get this, for I have learned. Get that word right there. For I, why are you here this morning? You're learning. For I have learned, and we need to learn, okay? For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to abase, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Paul says contentment is learned. It's not inherited. It's not seasonal, and it's not circumstantial. It's learned. Paul learned contentment through experiences, being in prison, persecution, and suffering. He learned contentment through the hard times. He learned when he had plenty, and he learned when he had little. And he said, I learned because Christ strengthened me. And that was his declaration, that because Christ strengthened me in every season, in every circumstance, no matter what I was going through, God strengthened me. Happy days, God strengthened me. Sad days, God strengthened me. Well days, God strengthened me. Sick days, God strengthened me. Having, God strengthened me. Have not, God strengthened me. And because God strengthened me, and he was always there giving me the power to go through, I can do all things. Because he strengthened me, I can do all things. Paul learned to trust and to rest in Christ, because he learned that with Christ in his life, through every circumstance, he had enough. He had enough. Having Christ means I have enough. Paul knew that in having Christ as his enough, it meant that he didn't need anything or anyone else to have peace, purpose, joy, or worth. Come on. His stability could not be destroyed by external changes. Contentment is not natural, you guys. It's something to be learned. It's something to be formed in us. We've got to let God form contentment in us. Sometimes we want to run away from sorrow, pain, and trouble, But in those days when we God builds us, he's forming contentment in us. He's letting us know every day is not Sunday. Every day is not a day of laughter and just gifts and wonderful things. But he's letting us know what you're going to do when the bad day comes. What you going to do when the sad days come? Are you going to run away from me? Are you going to turn away from me? Or are you going to be content and say, God, you are enough. God, you are enough. God, you are enough. Just macaroni in the cabinet. God, you are enough. Come on. Come on. One dress in the closet. God, you are enough. Come on. You know, Miss Kanisha sent us, and I didn't get to get them up, some video of being over there. And I looked at the pictures, and I thought to myself, I was sitting there talking to my husband, and you could see the houses is just demolished, and you could see just stuff. You know, all people's stuff is just there and messed up. And, you know, through this thing, and I'm thinking about, oh, my God. What are they doing? You know what I'm saying? That closet that had clothes out there, that cabinet that had food, furniture, all the things that we, you know, we go into our house and it's so normal to look through the closet and what am I going to wear? I have nothing to wear. You have a whole closet through. It's so normal. But for them, what was normal to me is no longer normal. They're walking around in devastation of just wanting something to eat, you guys. And I thought to myself, oh, God, how you can go from having to have not. And I asked her, I said, Kanisha, can you ask them how can we pray for them? And what she said, just pray that their hope remains in the Lord. And this is what God is telling us. He's warning us right now. Oh, in your have day, in your good day, in your great day, I just need to warn you, okay, that your hope is really in me, that your what you're putting your hope and place in is God Almighty, so that if something was to sweep through Oak Harbor today, and sweep through and take it all, you would say, God, you are enough. You are enough. I shall not be moved. I shall not be shaken. Because as long as I got you, God, I got everything I need. As long as I got you, my trust is in you. My hope is in you. Because you are enough. He's letting us know godliness paired with contentment is great gain. In 1 Timothy 6:6-8, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Here's a point that he wants us. For we bought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. All those things that we trust in, those things that we get all inundated with, and we worship, and it becomes everything. We can't take none of it with us. Naked we came in the world. Come on, with nothing, not with anything. And we're not going to be able to carry those things that we just get so focused on out. And it says, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Now, the funny thing, you guys, last night when I read that, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. It shows how much, for me, this not be you, just me, okay? So the first thing I said, well, God, what about shelter? What about, I was looking at this, I said, all you said was food and clothes. God, I want to have a house, because you know what? You can have food and clothes, but if you don't have no shelter, you know, what's going on? So I'm sitting there and I'm just praying about that. I said, I wonder why he didn't say house. And then I begin to study it out. And in the Bible, in those days, when they said food and raiment, it meant house. It meant every necessary thing that you needed to live. Well, what made me laugh was is that you spoiled things. You first thing you thought about, wait a minute, that is not complete. I need a house. And a lot of things God is saying, let us be content with that God gives us everything necessary. He may not give us all our wants. And why? Because some of our wants would consume us and destroy us. But God does give us all of our needs. And we need to say, thank you, Jesus. I have all of my needs. It says in 1 Timothy 6 through 8 in the Amplified, and it is indeed a source and I want of immense profit. For godliness accompanied with contentment. Some of us are godly, but we're not content. God said it's not complete, y'all. Not complete. Godliness accompanied with contentment. That contentment, which is a sense of inward sufficiency. Inward. I'm sufficient. No matter what happens out here, I'm sufficient because I got God. I got God on the inside. I'm sufficient on my inward man. And my inward man will help me to go through whatever the external is happening to the external because I'm sufficient. Are you full on the inside? Oh, we got full of turkey and dressing, and I didn't even get a piece of Sam's pecan pie. But I'm still a little bit upset about that, Sam. But it wasn't Sam's fault, though. My family loves Sam's pie, okay? And so I'm thinking to myself that as long as we have that inward sufficiency, we can go through outward things. In it not going crazy, not losing our mind. You know, there's a lot of Christians losing their mind. A lot of Christians that's just in an upward just heaver when things happen, they're just, and God is saying, there's something not full on the inside. You need more of me. There's a scripture in the Bible that says that our strength, if we faint, When adversity comes, that our strength is small, our faith is small. God is saying more faith. We need some more faith. Build it up so that when things come, we'll be able to say, God, you are enough. God, you are enough. Can you imagine as you're walking around and things are happening in your life and you're saying, but God, you are enough. You know, I was thinking to myself because I keep saying, God, give me an answer for every man. Because people ask me, how are your eyes? And usually, you know, this one is I can see pretty good, but this one I can't see that much. They say that, and I said, God, I need a better answer than that. It aggravates me that my answer sounds weak. And I said, God, give, and then last night, I was like, wait a minute, God, you are enough. You are enough. What's going on with your eyes? They are enough. They are enough. They are enough for me to get up here this morning, come on, and read this word. They are enough. And you know how we always look at the lack instead of what God has given us. We look at, my back hurts. But God, you are enough. I got more than a back. I got a head. I got some legs. I got some arm. All it is my back hurting out of my whole body. God, you are enough. God wants us to get to that place that we have an answer. But God has shown me that our weakness comes when we don't have the right answer. Because when I start talking about the right eye is seeing a little and the left eye is not seeing much at all, by the time I finish talking, I'm, Lord, I'm about to go blind. Because we're talking, it saps whatever strength God has given us. It saps it out. It's depleting that strength. God, instead of seeing what God is doing, we're talking about that one little thing, like that one little tree that we wasn't supposed to touch. We keep on doing that. That one little thing becomes the emphasis instead of emphasizing on all the rest of the goodness of God. He's more than enough. He wants us to know that godliness with contentment is great gain. godliness with contentment. He didn't say not wealth plus godliness, not blessings plus godliness, but he said, but godliness with contentment. They're paired together. And why is it great gain? Because you know what? It frees the heart. When you have contentment and it doesn't and your contentment is in God, it doesn't matter what happens around you. And when it's really in God, it frees our heart of worry. It frees our heart of the enemy being able to say, God doesn't love you. God, no, I know God loves me. What did y'all say? I know that he loves me. I know that he cares. Did we say that? Well, do we believe it? Do we really believe he loves us? And when we have contentment in the fact that he is enough, it frees us. It reduces all the anxiety. Come on. It destroys comparison. And it restores gratitude. And it lets us truly enjoy what God has given us. When we have contentment, it lets us truly enjoy what God has given us. Without contentment, even abundance feels empty. Come on. With contentment, little feels like enough. And much won't control us. Can you imagine that or think about the times when you didn't have contentment and God, like you said, God has given you something. And okay, so let's say because I'm so grateful about the things that God has given me. I walk in the house and I always do, thank you God, thank you for this place, thank you for my living room, okay? And I'll thank him for the furniture. We've had our furniture down for about 15, 20 years. And so, but all of a sudden, there was a day I was just like, you know what? I need some new furniture. I've had this furniture for 20 years. Why did I need some new furniture? Because other people, they were getting new couches and stuff, and they didn't even have their couches for 5, 6 years. I said, man, Pastor didn't have this furniture. So all of a sudden, Thanksgiving leaves the heart and discontent comes in. And God wants us, discontent don't feel good. Discontent has you like coveting things, wanting things, dissatisfied with your lot in life. So I had to get back and I had to go in there. What I do when I get discontented with my furniture, y'all, I move it around. Move it around, angle it that way. Push. I walk in that living room. My daughter did. She did a change in the living room. I thought I had new furniture, y'all. I walked in the living room. I said, "What? Oh, this looks so." See, when we get discontent, we've just got to be thankful for what we have, you guys. We've got to be thankful for what we have. You get discontent with the macaroni and cheese, then just eat macaroni and butter. And I guess I guarantee you'll say, thank you, Lord, for the macaroni and cheese. Just come on, be thankful. Be thankful for what you have. It's when you got contentment, little can feel like a whole lot. It feels like enough. And when you really have contentment, then having things won't control you, right? This is a true gain. A true gain is a calm and a grateful heart. Contentment aligns our hearts with eternal values, and it focuses on what really lasts, what really matters, godliness. Character, relationship with God. That's what really matters. There's a wisdom prayer of Proverbs that I've read this over and over, even when I was a teenager. And I used to think about this prayer, and I'd be like, wow, why did God have this prayer in the Bible? In Proverbs 30, and I don't know if you guys have ever read it, but it's a powerful prayer. In Proverbs 38-9, it says, and it was written by a man named Agur. I don't know if it's A-G-U-R, Agur. And so it says this, Remove from me falsehood and lies. Then he says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and so profane the name of my God. This prayer has always stuck out to me. Of all the desires that you could ask for, he said, don't give me too much and don't give me too little. Come on. He's saying, just give me, what's the word today? Enough. He said, I'm not asking for too much and I'm not asking. I need enough. He said, just enough so that I will stay in your will, so that I will stay close to you, so that I won't forget who you are, so I won't do anything wrong, so that I won't be, I just want just enough. Boy, what an awesome prayer. And what an awesome prayer for this season and this time when we're just trying to think of what to get more and how to get this more. And sometimes in my grandchildren, they'd be like, Grandma, one of my granddaughters, I gave one grandson money, and I gave her what I thought her hobby was. But, of course, she saw me give the other grandson money. And she said, Grandma, wait, I'm your first, and you gave him money? And I was like, okay, so sometimes we get caught up in all that. But God, what do they need? Well, giving is about loving enough to give what a person really needs. Let's remember that. And I love that how he said that. He said, feed me with the food that is needful for me. Boy, I thought about I should have been saying that prayer on Thanksgiving. Feed me with the food. That's a good prayer, y'all. When things are set before us, feed me with the food that is needful for me. Because God knows we can get all out of hand. We can get all out of control, and we just see things, and we just want it, but we don't ask ourselves, is it needful? It's good, but is it needful? Is it beneficial? We don't ask ourselves any of those things. But this prayer would have reminded us, feed me with the food that is needful for me. One piece of pie is good enough. I don't need to eat half pie. Feed me with the food that is, give me wisdom. This man was like, wisdom. It's a wisdom prayer. God, give me wisdom. And I love that this prayer just tucked in there. When we read the Bible, there's all kinds of things, anything you need to know about life is tucked in the Word of God. And when you look at this, I was like, oh God, what a, I remember as a teenager, I was like, why would he not just ask for it, what he wanted, you know? But he said, this is what I want. He said, I don't want to be in poverty, and I don't want to be rich. I just want to stay and have enough that I'll honor you, that I'll worship you, that none of it will become an idol, none of it would hold me, none of it would control me. All I want is enough, God. What a prayer. How many is it? All I want is enough. I'll walk in the store. God, all I want today in this store is enough. Can you imagine if we start saying that? How different we would shop. How different we would look at things. Just enough. All I want is enough when I see all those pretty dresses. I just want enough. Because sometimes God knows, he says, my children, that we're in so much financial debt because we want more than enough. We want bigger. We want greater. We want another one. We want what just came out this year. We want, how many mixers can you have? How many plates can you have? How many cups can you? I mean, really, when I look around, half the stuff I don't touch. And God is saying, ask for enough. How much more freer we would be. And my husband would say, how much more I could breathe. How much more freer. Because you get too much stuff around you. You feel cluttered. A lot of times, have you ever went to a hotel And I like going to hotels. And I tried to figure out why. I don't like their beds. No place like home in your own bed. But when I go to hotels, I really like them. And I was thinking, why do I like hotels? Because there's not a lot of stuff in there. So I had to really kind of like deal with me on that. Why do I collect so much, but I really like to breathe when there's less? We got to think about those things. This prayer reveals too much can make us forget God, too little can make us lose trust, but enough keeps us near him. This man, Augur, wrote this wisdom prayer. His heart was humble and dependent upon God, and he focused on staying faithful rather than being controlled by poverty or wealth. You can be controlled either way. Come on, poverty or wealth. The joy of giving, God wants us to have the joy of giving this season without losing our heart. God isn't against gifts. I want to remind you of that. Scripture celebrates giving. In Acts 20 and 35, it says it's more blessed to give than to receive. All right? In Acts 20:35, I want to show where it starts before that. He says, I've showed you all things now that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it was more blessed to give than to receive. In John 3:16, we know the giving scripture. For God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave the greatest gift of all. So God is calling for a heart posture in our giving, that our giving will not become distorted. It becomes distorted when we are fueled by comparison, looking at what other people have and trying to keep up with the Joneses. The Joneses are the Browns or whoever you're trying to keep up with. It becomes distorted when it's fueled by pressure to get, pressure to give, pressure not to feel left out if you can't give. Come on. It becomes distorted when it becomes a performance or an obligation. Healthy giving flows from gratitude, simplicity, love, and worship. True joy is tied to the giver, not the gift. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, it talks about thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. When our eyes return to Christ, the season stops being about getting more and becomes a reflection of the greatest gift already given. When we reflect on God's gift, our gifts can be small echoes of God's greatest gift. There's nothing we can give better than Christ. There's nothing we can give better. So what we're doing is just giving small echoes of the love of Christ, but not if we don't give right. If we don't give right, it's just random, it's just unthoughtful, but we want it to be small echoes of the love of Christ. We want to give thoughtfully. We want to give like God intentionally. We want to give lovingly and with the good of the other person in mind. When we do this, we reflect the heart of God and the gospel in our giving. There's practices that will keep our hearts anchored this season. Daily gratitude discipline. Every day, you guys, I wanted to put something on here that you could apply, practice it. Every day, think of at least 3 blessings a day. This will train your mind to turn away from wanting, and turn your heart toward worship. Let's think of 3 blessings every day. Now, these are things you know, it's not mandatory, but things that God had given me last night. We have a call that God is giving us today. It's a call back to enough. In that prayer, it was, the man was like saying, Lord, give us neither poverty nor riches, but let our hearts know that you are enough. God is calling us back to that. That before we even get, somebody says, well, I haven't even been outside. Before we even get all into all of that, let's start out with, God, you are enough. Now lead me, God, in what I am to do this season. What if this season isn't about managing schedules, shopping carts, our expectations? What if in this season God wants to restore your joy? He wants to restore your peace. He wants to restore your gratitude. Wonder if he wants to fill you up so he can really pour you out. God wants us to think about that. What if the greatest gift that we can give our families is a heart that isn't hurried? A heart that isn't worried? A heart that isn't comparing? But a heart that is anchored in God. A heart that is grateful and a heart that is content in Christ. Wonder if that's the greatest gift of all that we can give our families, that we can give those people that are around us. You know, sometimes I to be honest, there's been sometimes Thanksgiving, holidays, I find myself wanting to, I have a thing in my mind how I want it to be, and I'm just, you know, I'm trying to get it that way. And before the kids come, I want the table set a certain way. I want, you know, everything to be a certain way to the point that I'm not at peace. I'm running around. And by the time they get there, I'm tired. I'm exhausted, a little bit upset because it's not looking like I wanted to look. God said, it ain't all about all that. It's not about all that. God wants, that's not a gift to your family. That's not a gift to company. That's not a gift to friends that they come into a heart that's hurried and worried and upset and got their mind so totally on the aesthetics of things instead of the heart of it. Wonder if we just let all that go. Wonder if we just said, I just want to show God's love. And that God's love is not in the plates on the table. God. It's not getting them just right. It's not having just the right ones. God's love is sitting at the table. Your presence at the table. You know how you want everything so great that you didn't even sit down and talk to them. You're so busy. God said, no. My love always meant presence. Presence. Jesus, he came down. He came down to be with us. He left his heavenly home, glorious place, to come to us. And we've got to learn, even in our homes and what we think is glorified serving, the best part of serving is to come down and be with those that we're serving. At the table. We're not hurried. We're not worried. We're present. We're fully present. This Christmas, we can choose the chaos of more. Or as we stand, we can choose the peace of enough. The Lord said, I set before you this day life and death. You choose. I set before you this day life and death. Every time we come and we hear the word of God, God is setting before us life or death. We choose. God, am I going to hear what you say? Am I going to apply what you say? And am I going to get life? Or am I going to ignore what you say and do the same thing that I always do? And get death. You choose. I'm going to end. When I was in school and I took Spanish, and you would think, because I took it for 3 years, y'all would think that I could fluently talk it. But I just learned things to get by, okay? Buenos dias, hello, como se llama, what's your name? You know, I could do that. And then I liked French so much, I learned part of French, you know? So it sounds like I'm pretty smart, but I just know little statements, okay? So there was one statement, there was one word, though, that really hit me, and I want y'all to get this. There was a word in Spanish called más. Más. Is it Spanish? Okay, thank you. I want to make sure that how I was saying it, you know, because sometimes I don't say the word right, but I know what I'm talking about. Okay, so más meant more. And this hit me, so I don't know why this word out of Spanish was like the word that has walked with me all the way up to even yesterday. So every time I would see, and I was in high school, every time I would see Christmas, I could not look at Christmas without seeing the word mom. And I would flip it. And so every time I see Christmas, I would say, oh, mas means more. So they're saying more of Christ, more Christ, more Christ. And to this day, I cannot look at Christmas, the word Christmas, without seeing more Christ. And yesterday as I was doing this, God brought that word back to me again about this season, Christmas. God said, tell my people, more of me. More me, and that will be enough. What the world needs now is more of Christ. More of Christ, more of his joy, more of his peace, more of his love, more of his quietness in this chaotic world. We need more of Christ. So remember, when you look at that word Christmas and you're out there thinking, oh, what can I do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? It's Christmas. Stop. More of Christ. More of Christ. Remind yourself that what the world, what we need, what I need, what you need is more of Christ. And God came that there is no stopping. It's the gift that keeps on giving. So you don't have to ever think that it's going to run out and you go say, there's no more. There's no more. You don't have to say that because there's more and more and more and more and more and more of Christ. Whatever you need, there's still more of Christ. And what the world needs is more of Christ. We might think they need another tinker toy. We might think they need another, whatever you're thinking about buying them. But you guys, don't forget. Please don't forget this. God said, we give. We wrap up things so pretty, and we give it. But we will let them leave from our presence without giving them Christ. And the gift, I think about it all the time with my children. They walk out that door and I haven't told them about Jesus. My heart it just hurts so. You got all befuddled up in the, but what they need is Jesus. What they need is Jesus. Don't think that nothing, you can buy them a car, a Lexus, a house, I don't care what, you can give them $1 million, but you still will not have given them the greatest thing if you don't give them Jesus. Do not forget that. Do not forget whatever guest, whatever person that you're trying to show love to, the greatest love you can give them is a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Don't withhold that. Don't think this is not the time. This is not the place. Yes, it is. It's all about Jesus is the what? Reason for the season, we say. But yet we leave him out. And he says, don't leave me. I'll tell somebody needs to know me. Somebody that's about to die. Somebody that's about to commit suicide. We're talking about all these men commit suicide. That, and they won't show it. Most men are very stoic. You wouldn't even know that they were thinking that way. But if you don't stop and say, you know what? Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. And he said that he would give you life, brother. He'd give you life more abundantly. And I know there's some hurting things going on because there's some hurting things going on in my life. But I'll tell you with Jesus. I'll tell you, Jesus gives you a reason for living. Come on, let's not be ashamed to give them Jesus. Let's not be ashamed to lift up Jesus as the greatest gift of all. You're saying, I don't have enough money. I don't know what I'm going to give somebody. Oh, yes, you do. You're going to give them Jesus. You're going to tell them about Jesus. It's the greatest thing. Sometimes you don't have money. Maybe God don't have money because he wants you to walk out on just giving Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Jesus. And he's enough. And he's enough. And he's enough. He's enough. He's enough when the car breaks down. He's enough when the money you gave them runs out. He's enough. And they got to know that when the stuff is gone, Jesus is still there. He's enough. But they won't know it if you don't know it. And they can't receive it in a way that's believable if you don't believe. It should be a joy to tell them about Jesus. It should be a joy. You know, like I'm the type of person that my kids, they say that you have to be jumpy and happy when I give you a gift. I'm waiting. I'm waiting because I want to know that you liked it. And I'm just waiting. So the kids now, they kind of like, I know they're faking. The kids now, when I give them something, they go, oh, my God, thank you, Mom. I know they're faking, but I'll take their fake. I'll take their fake. They'll get it one day. But wonder if we were like that about Jesus. Wonder if we offered you. Wonder, see, because when I give you a gift, I'm like in anticipation. I'm like, I wonder if she's going to like it. I wonder if the color. Oh, my God. Wonder if we were like that about giving Jesus. I'm giving the best gift of all. If we walked up to people like that, man, I can't wait to tell you about this gift. Oh, my God, I can't wait till you open this gift. I can't wait to tell you it's Jesus. Jesus that was born, and Jesus was born for you. And what if we came across like that? Most of us say, come on, it don't take, baby. You're doing too much. Yes. I'm doing more. I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing, because I know how excited I can get. And I know we all can get excited. Maybe you don't get excited, but it depends on what it is. And we all can get excited. So let's get excited about Jesus. Like he's really enough. He's really enough. Let's get excited like Sam. Sam, Pastor Sam, I love like when you feed him. I don't know if he still does it right now. But when you, I haven't had him sitting around me and watched him lately. But when he eats, sometimes I do it just to copy him because I think it's so cute. When he eats, he gets so like wiggly and just like, oh God, I'm eating and it's enough and it's so good. Come on. When we're eating Jesus, oh, what Pastor Robin, did you hear that? What did Dr. Robin say this morning? She said, what's going on up in here? We need to ask God, make us hungry, God. Give us a thirst, oh God. Let us be hungry. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we're just like, I can't wait. I can't wait. Oh, give me more. Give me more. Give me more. It's just what happens is, what happens in these subtle, quiet days, it says that we have been going through some drama with the enemy. And he is kind of whipping up on us. But we haven't turned around and told him, get your hands off of me. Enough. And God is more than enough. God is more than enough. God is more than enough. You don't have power over me because God is more than enough. There better be. I need to hear some saints in the house. God is more than enough. Come on. We got to speak when we don't even feel like it. Sometimes you're looking at me like, I don't even feel like saying that. She's just putting on too much this morning. But I'm telling you what, the enemy's putting on too much on you this morning. And sometimes you got to get mad at the enemy. And even if you don't feel like yelling, sometimes you got to yell. Sometimes I yelled in my house, get out! I yell. I let him know, come on, get out. You don't belong here. I'm a daughter of the Most High God. I'm not trying to look cute. I'm not trying to look pretty. I'm in warfare. And I mean business. I mean business with the enemy. And all of a sudden, you'll feel a stirring up, even where you feel so weak and so weary and so worn. And where's my Otis? Otis, I need you this morning. Come on, warrior. More than enough. More than enough. More than enough. Come on. Come on. Yes. 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 Oh, glory to God. In the more than enough. More than enough, warrior. More than enough. God wants you to know more than enough is within you. More than enough is right there within you. And I never fail to see you as a lion, a mighty lion with a roar that the enemy, come on, sounds like a lion. But the Lion of Judah is really in you. And he's more than enough. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting arms. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord God, strong and mighty. Who is the King of God? The Lord God, mighty in battle. He is the King, and he is within you. In the name of Jesus, this morning, may that resonate in your spirit, and may it walk with you all week long. He's within you. He's ready to avail any situation. He's right there, ready to fight for you in the name of Jesus. This morning as we end, the altar call is, he is enough. Now, wherever he's fighting you, God is enough. And right now, in the name of Jesus, if you just come on, come on, come on, come on and say, he is more, move, move, move. He is enough. He's enough, more than enough. He lives within you, and he's more than enough. Come on, come on, come on. No, there was too much somberness in here this morning to let me know that he's messing with more than three people. Come on, come on, come on, move, move, move. He's messing with you. God is wanting to, come on, fight with you this morning. He's enough, y'all, he's enough, he's enough. He's enough. You came in one way, but God wants you to know, come on, with him you can go out another. He's enough. He's enough past these doors. He's enough past these doors, okay? He's enough in your home. Yes, he is. He's enough in your body. He's enough with your people that you work around. He's enough. He's enough in your head, your troubling mind. God's enough. He's enough, you guys. This morning, we will not. Sometimes we will just try to say, God, I know that you're enough, and I'm just going to stay right here and say you're enough. The enemy says, stay right here because I'm right here too. But I want you to come up. God said, come on up. Come on up. Come on. I want y'all to put on a warrior stance, a warrior's face. Come on. You may not feel like it, but Deja, you're a warrior. And so the enemy gets mad because you're a warrior. And he wants to come against that joy. But you got to let him know he can't have it. He's trespassing on holy ground. He doesn't belong there. He doesn't belong in your head, your heart, or your body. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the powerful, delivering name of Jesus, I declare enough over each one of you. Over every area that's trying to shake you, break you, destroy you. God is enough. God is enough. He's enough. He's enough. He's enough. He's enough. He's enough. Come on, somebody say, you're enough. You're enough, God. You're enough, God. And I know that you see me. And I know that you know all about it. And you are enough. I'm not in this dark place alone. He's enough. Said, if you make your bed in hell, I'm with you. He's right there with you. The enemy can't take your smile. He can't take your joy. He can't have it. So, Lord, I pray right now that over every circumstance, these circumstances that are standing here at the altar, God, these circumstances that are on your people, oh God, I pray right now that they would be lifted. Pray right now that lifted. God, let there be a lifting. Let's lift up our hands. Let there be a lifting. Come on, lift up your hands. Let there be a lifting today. A lifting. Oh, just lift that mighty hand. Come on, lift those hands. Come on, lift them, lift them, lift them. Let there be a lifting today in the name of Jesus. God, let there be a release today in the name of Jesus, God. I'm praying, God, lift it off of them right now in the name of Jesus. Free them from that heavy burden, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, these are your children, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, come here, Deja. Come on, Deja. Oh, I need a sister. I need, Robin, are you free? I need a, okay. You know, I'm going to do something in the Bible y'all know about when Moses was weary and tired. Moses was the leader, and what they did, they had people to come and lift up Moses' hands because there was a battle going on. And if Moses' hands would fall down, they would lose the battle. But Moses was tired. And so God's had them to come. I think it was Aaron and one of the other men to come and hold up his arms so that he could keep his arms up so that the battle would be won. And right now, I know that was Moses the leader, but I'm looking at his children. And right now I see his children. Some of y'all are weary. You have your hands up because I asked you to put your hands up, but really you just want to put your hand down. And God is saying, bring some people up that will hold your hand up so that you would know you got some battles, a battle going on. There's a battle going on, and you're just tired of the battle. God said, you're so tired of the battle, and you just want to drop your hands and say, forget it, Lord. But God said, no.
No, no, not so.
No, not so. No, not so. No, not so in the name of Jesus. We hold up your hands in the name of Jesus. And the battle will be won in the name of Jesus. The battle's not yours. It's the Lord's in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, in the name of Jesus, release her. Come on, release her. Release her. Release her right now. Come on, open your mouth right now. Yeah, 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 yes. Right now, God.
You are enough. You are enough.
Right now. God, you're enough. Right now, God. Thank you. Yes. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Yes, God. Yes. Yes. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, God.
Jesus.
Yes.
Yes.
Come on.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
you,
Lord.
In the name of Jesus, he's enough, he's enough, he's enough, he's enough, he's enough, he's enough, yes. He's enough. Release right now. Release right now. Release right now. Release in the name of Jesus. Oh, Shoko, it's all right. Yes! He's enough. Thank you, God.
Yes! Come on. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him.
Thank you,
God.
He's enough, sweetheart. He's enough. He is enough. Come here. Have you prayed in your prayer language? Have you a prayer language? Have you a prayer language? I know the Father wants to fill you with his Holy Ghost. That's a prayer language. He takes over and he fills you. I know because he's right here. He's right here. So what I want you to do is say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And you let God just have control right now. You guys, I need to get close to her. I need to get close. In the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. He's right here. He's all here. He will fill you with his Holy Ghost. And that with fire. He will take over your tongue. And he will give you a prayer language. Come on. Yes. That's it, baby. Let him have it. Let him have it. Let him have it all. Let him have it all. Oh, Kuruya, Baba, Baba, Ria, Baba, Baba, Ria, Baba, Baba, Shukuria, Baba, Baba, Ria, Baba, Baba, Ria, Baba, Shukuria, Baba. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, I receive.
I receive
your Holy Spirit. Oh, Kuruya, Baba, Baba, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, Kuruya, Baba, 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 Shukuria, Baba. It's all over her, babe. It's all over her. It's all over. He's all over. The Spirit's all over you, sweetie. Just open your mouth. Release right now. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Thank you. That's his sweet spirit. On your feet, daughter. Oh, go to the Abba. Oh, go to the Abba, 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 Abba. He said, I will feel you, daughter. I will feel you. I'm feeling you. Go to the Abba, Abba, Abba.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's okay. It's okay. Oh, go to the Abba. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, sweetie. And he's enough. He's enough. You keep that. You keep praying in the Spirit. Gonna feel good?
Yeah. Well, he's right here.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah, he's started up a little bit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Battles are being won right now. Hallelujah. And we declare victory. Exactly. We declare victory right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody need to praise him in here right now. Don't wait till the battle is over. Hallelujah. Don't wait till the battle is over. Hallelujah. Shout now. Praise him now. Hallelujah. We just trust God now. Hallelujah. I'm reminded, amen, when they went around the walls of Jericho, they didn't wait for the walls to fall down to shout. They shouted and then the walls came down. Then the walls came down. Hallelujah. Just got to believe God.